are back. You're listening to You Would Think, the Philadelphia Flyers podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Collington. Joining me today, it's the one, the only, Mr. Mike Giletto Sr. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, hey, how's it going? How's everybody doing?
Good. And, you know, it's a bit of a somber show today, and we'll get to that in just a second. But I do want to let you know, you can find the show on Twitter at YWT Podcast. You can find Mike at Mike from S Jersey. You can also find the show on Facebook, Instagram, Podbean, iTunes, Google Podcasts, SportsTalkPhilly.com. Pretty much everywhere. You can give us a follow. You know where to find us by now. We're going to dive right into today's show. And obviously, the big headline is Oscar Lindblom. He missed Wednesday's game with an undisclosed upper body injury. We didn't really know what was going on. You know, young kid, didn't remember any sort of hit that might have gotten him hurt. We all kind of thought it was a nothing, a couple days, a day-to-day type thing. And the news came out on Friday that he was diagnosed with Ewing sarcoma. And we don't want to dwell on it too much, but we did feel the need to address it right off the top.
Yeah, you can't not mention it, not talk about it. Of course, our prayers go out to him, our thoughts, best wishes. This is not a hockey conversation to have, of course. It's a person conversation, and whatever happens with him in a hockey standpoint is not even secondary. It's
almost irrelevant at this point.
It's God bless him. We wish him nothing but the best, and hopefully he spends the next 70 years on this planet doing the things that he loves and enjoys, whether it's hockey or otherwise, and all the best out to you, Oscar.
Yeah, really, really well said, and we do wish him the best here from the You Would Think family. We're going to try to have a normal show today. We know that it's a little tough, and we're going to have to talk kind of frankly about what his absence means.
And any conversation that we have as to, you know, what the Flyers need, you know, well, not need to do in light of that, that's not what I mean. Just any conversation that we have, given Konechny's absence, or does this mean more time for this guy or that guy, it's not with an eye to, you know, right, what happened to us with Oscar. What happened to Oscar happened to Oscar.
Right. And we're all with him, and the team is with him.
These conversations are not, you know, what do the Flyers do now that Oscar has this disease? That's not our intention, and that's not the goal.
No.
And again, all the best out to Oscar, as we've said multiple times now.
Right. The focus is absolutely on him and beating this disease and trying to overcome, you know, a pretty late in life diagnosis, and hopefully they caught it early. We're recording here on Sunday morning. We still don't have a ton of information specifically about what's going on, and that's totally fine. That's up to Oscar and his family if they want to tell us when they want to tell us.
He hasn't been here a real long period of time yet because he's so young, but it just seems like a fun, loving, you know,
and everybody
awesome kid. And
everybody around the team, you know, Kevin posted an article that you can read on 97.3 ESPN, and I know he did a radio hit or two where you can listen to him talk about Oscar Lindblom, and you can tell that the team loved him, and everyone who interacted with the team loved him.
Yes, his public persona is just a fun-loving guy, always smiling. So try to keep doing that, Oscar, and again, all the best.
Yeah, and again, we are going to try to have a fairly normal show. We'll circle back and touch on this at the end. We're going to try to have a fairly normal show, but we did want to acknowledge it off the top because we don't want it to feel like there's a dark cloud hanging over the show that we didn't address.
Right, correct.
So
which takes us to the weekend review, right?
Let's try to get into it. This week was not the Flyers' best week. They played two games. That game Wednesday against Colorado, I think you just kind of lost to one of the best teams in hockey, and I kind of think that's what happened to you.
Well, there was a whole lot of things at play in that game. Number one, you go into the game without your two top goal scorers.
Yeah.
You're playing a very good offensive team who can put the puck in the net.
Yep, that's the game that Oscar Lindblom missed for undiagnosed reasons.
First one, right.
And Travis Konechny is out with his concussion.
And those are your two leading goal scorers going into that game. And it's, you know, they were up against it from the drop of the puck. I thought they played very, very well for the most part for the game. They were at one point, it was still 1-0. And I thought very early in the game, Francois, is that how
they're Francouz, the goalie? I believe.
Francouz, okay. He was very shaky early, I thought. Even the saves he was making, he was leaving rebounds, fumbling the puck a little bit, fighting the puck, sort of, is what I saw. But as the game went on, he seemed to get stronger and stronger and gaining confidence. And the game stayed 1-0 for a very long time. And about halfway through the second period, you kind of look up and the Flyers are out shooting them like 22-16, something like that. If they're getting outshot decently in the first period. Like, they just started to take control of the game. They just never got that goal to tie the game. And then...
Just
a fantastic, fantastic... And Hart played terrifically, keeping him at 1-0. He may not have had 35 saves, but he had some real, you know, as they say, real 10-bellers. I mean, he had some great saves. And he kept it 1-0 for the longest time, and then Colorado got that second goal that was just a fantastic play on their part as well. And, you know, sometimes you just get beat by the other team.
Yeah, and Colorado is a top-tier team in this league, and nobody denies that. And the Flyers would have had a hard time skating with them at full health, injury, how they were, and how, you know, the Flyers really, honestly, the biggest story out of this week, Oscar Lindblom aside, of course, is that the Flyers are decimated by injury. Not even just him, not even just Oscar.
Yeah, no, it's connecting. It's other players.
Pitlick and Lawton left Saturday's game. Yeah. We'll get into that in just a second.
Yeah, and some guys are playing banged up.
Michael Raffles hurting.
Yeah, it's the rigors of an NHL season. You go through it. Yep. You never want to lose a game, but I would not characterize the Colorado game as a bad loss. It was a game that you played hard. You played fairly well.
Yeah,
win the game.
It reminds you of that Arizona loss from a week prior where Darcy Kemper just beat you. In this case, the Colorado Avalanche just beat you in a way that good teams do. Good teams win games.
As you know, my issue with this team going forward will always be looking at it, you know, kind of looking back as I'm looking forward, is that, you know, are they going to do the roller coaster thing? And I would not put that loss as a roller coaster loss.
I agree.
I just wouldn't.
And even Saturday's loss in Minnesota, I also wouldn't necessarily describe as a roller coaster loss. To me, that was a team playing with heavy hearts. Honestly, the team
I was
looked.
Say, it's more of a circumstances.
Yeah.
Loss and I thought we'd get a spirited third period. And
you did.
I don't think we got. I texted you.
Yeah, I got a text.
And you replied back. Yep. Yeah, I kind of expect the same thing. And I don't think they disappointed. They had a few opportunities to bang in that 3-2 goal, and they just never got it. If they did get it, I think you would have seen, you know, just human nature. You get that 3-2 goal, and, you know, the bench kind of rises, and the momentum
you know, shifts.
They just never got that goal.
Yep, I agree.
But they had opportunities, and again, I wouldn't call it a horrible loss in light of everything that happened
yesterday.
This week
was emotional. We saw the pictures of the locker room set up with Oscar's jersey hanging. We heard Claude talking about it and talking about how emotional it is. We heard Robert Hagg talking about it pretty significantly. They are very, very, very good friends off the ice, and he was shaken up. The whole team really looked somber, as you would expect. Yeah. And it's hard to get up and play a hockey game at that point.
That's all true. Here's my concern going forward.
Okay.
As the team has progressed this year and put wins together and gotten to that 17-8, 18-7, whatever, you know, the record that they posted.
Put together a pretty impressive resume so far.
Exactly. Yeah. As that was happening, you saw the ice time of certain veterans go down.
Right. Your favorite.
Even Drew, who's played well, his ice time is not what it was. His ice time is still down.
Yeah, they're managing his load for sure.
Yeah.
And part of that,
whether they're managing load or whether they're saying, look, you're just not the player you used to be, or maybe never were, that we can't win hockey games with you playing 25 minutes a game. That could be just that. Other players deserve the ice time more. That's a conversation maybe for a different day. But for this purpose, as those veterans now, in light of the injuries and the situations, their ice time increases. My concern, giving an 0-2 going into tonight week, is I hope we don't see having to lean on those players again heavily start to affect the record. And if that's the case, that's certainly indicative of bigger problems.
Right. And part of it comes back to why those players were getting less ice time. If Alain Vigneault is giving those players a little more rest to keep them healthy for a long season or to keep them healthy for a playoff run.
I didn't take it that way.
No, right. Then I think this is a very good thing because Claude Giroux can go back to playing 24, 25 minutes a night. Same with Jake Vorek. You can get their numbers back up. And if you were resting them, you were resting them for this.
Yeah, and you're going to find out if that's
right.
That's the case.
If
they go 2-6 in the next eight.
Right.
Then you know, A, that wasn't it, or B, it was a bad plan, or, you know, or that that wasn't it, and they were not getting the ice time right. because the other younger players deserved it more.
Well, and I was going to say, I don't think the older players were being quote-unquote benched because they didn't deserve X ice time. I think the kids reached out and grabbed it.
Yeah,
I think the kids reached out.
Totally
Travis
agree.
Konecny demanded top ice time.
Correct.
Same with Oscar Lindblom. Same with all these kids. Sean Couturier's had a great season. Tyler Pitlick, that fourth line with Tyler Pitlick and Michael Roffel, has demanded ice time just because of how they've played.
Lawton's demanded more ice time. Absolutely.
And that's exactly what you want to see. But now, without that, can your top scoring set up? You know, we've talked for a long time about secondary scoring with this team. Yeah, sure, Giroux and Voracek will score, but can you get production out of the rest of your team? And now we kind of need Giroux and Voracek to step up because the rest of the team is hurt.
For the first third of the season, Giroux and Voracek were the secondary scoring.
Exactly. And now we need them to step up and be primary again.
Now that can't be the case with the lineup the way it is right now.
Exactly. And, you know, you saw it in yesterday's game. Lawton and Pitlick both went out early in that game, and you played the second two-thirds of that game, or the back two-thirds of that game, with really only three lines. You only
which in the
forwards.
Short term you should be able to do. It's when you try and do it for a week, it gets very difficult.
Right, and
or try to do it again tonight in a back to back.
Right. Also on lineup things, we did see Vorobyev get called up, and we did see Kesha get called up. I think Kesha. I'm not sure I'm pronouncing that right, but either way, we did see them come up, and Kesha made his season debut for sure, maybe his NHL debut
right
in Minnesota. And I'm gonna keep an eye on social media because I think you might be seeing another call up today if Lawton and Pitlick aren't ready to go.
Oh, I'm sure that'll happen, but look, these are just bodies,
right? Because we are recording this on Sunday morning before the Winnipeg game. We know that this show will come out after the Winnipeg game. Schedule-wise, 5 o'clock on Sunday is a weird one. So we just decided to bite the bullet and record beforehand, and we're just not going to have Winnipeg information in this show, just so our fans have a heads-up on where we're at here. I assume there's going to be a call-up of some variety today, unless Pitlick and Lawton are both ready to go in Winnipeg tonight. Because they really don't have any extra bodies traveling with them right now.
Yeah, and unless the injuries were so minor that barring a separate injury, they're going to get through. I think at most you get one of them tonight, and you get the call-up body.
Right.
You get whichever one's closer. Because in a back-to-back, you go in and you lose them both again because they were both 50-50 to begin with. You're really putting yourself behind the eight ball, and then you're back down to 10 forwards again. On the second half of a back-to-back, that's not a good idea.
Yeah, and you can go with seven faceoffs because all the injuries have been in the forward core. You can go with seven defensemen. You only really need to get up to 11 forwards. We've seen Vigneault run seven defensemen a lot season.
Not if two of those were 50-50 going into the game.
I understand that, but you also...
If it's a hammy that you're not 100% sure, then you pop the hammy, and if it's a shoulder and you get checked into the boards and you're only 50-50 and now the shoulders, now you're down to 9.
Oh, I know, but they were, they were down to 10 yesterday, and... it's not ideal for sure. But at the same time, you also have to face the issue of getting someone from Lehigh Valley to Winnipeg hours. And you can do it.
Yeah, I'm sure that was done 2 days ago. Well, no, it just happened last night. So
that's what I'm saying. You lost both those guys last night, and the Phantoms played last night. So you got to get somebody from Lehigh Valley down to Winnipeg, and it's doable. But Winnipeg's kind of in the middle of nowhere.
True. But if Pitlick plays and Lawton plays, there's no way they're dressing less than 12 forwards.
I agree.
I just don't see that happening.
I totally agree. But we do kind of have to have a conversation. How long is Travis Konecny out? We've heard concussion. That news broke a couple hours after we recorded last week's show, because that's how news tends to work here. But if Travis Konecny is out any sort of significant amount of time, you're down your top two scorers.
Yeah, there's their next game is after tonight is when?
I believe it is Tuesday. I will look up the schedule right now for you.
I mean, Konecny did make the trip, so it's not like they felt he has no chance to play in any of these three games.
Right.
I'm sure they won't play him tonight unless he's just 100%
of course
to go.
With concussions you can't right. you can't so, mess around with concussions. The next game is Tuesday, by the way. They play Anaheim. The Flyers actually have a little bit of opportunity this week because you play Anaheim, who's bad, Buffalo, who's not bad yet, but they're going to get there, and then Ottawa on Saturday.
I think Buffalo's playing pretty well. Eichel's I won't say has figured it out, but is figuring it out.
Yeah, but they have goaltending issues, and they're a little light.
I agree with that.
But either way, between
the position and the standings is pretty good, though.
Oh, right. And between Anaheim, Buffalo, and Ottawa, Buffalo's definitely the best team of those three. But when I say it gets a little easier, I expect the Flyers to get at least 4 points, preferably 5 or 6. Out of these next three games.
Look, with everything that's going on right now and the injuries, it's more about how they perform and what they do and how they react. I think more importantly, yeah, sure, it's easier to do against an inferior opponent,
right?
But it's really kind of the man in the mirror. I think more so over the next week or so than who the opponent. Again, I'm not saying the opponent doesn't matter, but
I'm looking at it like this. You play Anaheim on Tuesday, you play Buffalo on Thursday, you play Ottawa on Saturday. Next Monday night, you play the New York Rangers. So over the next 9 days, after you play Winnipeg tonight at time of recording, after tonight, next 4 games, you only really have one opponent in Buffalo. The other three are bad teams. So as far as
I'm just saying the way the team is made up right now.
I understand, but I'm saying...
There's no gimmies,
As far as I'm concerned... Your next challenge, your next very difficult challenge game is not until Saturday the 28th against the San Jose Sharks.
I'm going to disagree with you. Their next challenge is the next game, regardless of opponent.
I understand.
Considering their position and where they are.
I understand.
Yes, the Buffalo game is going to be a more challenging game than the Anaheim game or the Ottawa game.
Right.
I think the challenge is them figuring out a way to perform.
Right.
And play well in the situation that they're currently finding themselves. Well,
there's no good time to have three players in your lineup injured. But this is one of the better times to have short-term injuries, is what I'm looking at. Because if you're healthy...
Okay, I'll agree with that.
If you're healthy by after Christmas, that game on the 28th against the San Jose Sharks, if Raffles back and ready to go, if Pitlick's back and ready to go, if Konechny's gotten over the concussion, if your little bit part injuries that you have kind of dispersed throughout the lineup have cleared up by then you're good to go. Then you're back your team.
I agree with you, but in that regard, but the banking of the points is significantly more important than getting healthy.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
We lost 2 games and we slipped from 2nd to 5th.
Yeah.
In the standings.
See, you say
after two losses.
You say it's more important, but that's exactly what I'm saying. If Scott Laughton's 50-50 tonight, I probably play him because Winnipeg's a good team and I need him. If Scott Laughton's 50-50 on Tuesday against Anaheim, I probably lean towards sitting him because I think you should be able to beat Anaheim without Scott Laughton. And that's what I mean about having a little bit of a weaker schedule upcoming, is you don't have to rush players back quite as fast and you can let guys get 100% instead of just, they're healthy enough to play. Because getting guys to 100% is how you keep your team healthy late in the season, how you keep your team healthy into a playoff run.
Well, I think it's going to be clear over the next 3 to 4 to 5 games that their lineup is going to be somewhat compromised under
absolutely.
For whatever reason.
Yeah, absolutely.
And how they react to that and how they play and how they attack the situation and how they play is going to be much more important than who the team that they're playing is.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a test of Alain Vigneault's lineup management. Who plays with who, and what are your defensive pairs? And
hey, look, this is also very tricky for Vigneault.
Yep,
it just is
exactly.
It's not easy to push all the right buttons here. Part of the injury factor is the human nature factor. Of other things that are going on.
Right, because I'd be willing to bet right now.
You can't throw that out and say that doesn't count, that doesn't matter. It does. These are all human beings.
Yep.
So it's a tightrope. It really is. It's a fine line to walk. And
Vigneault also has to tightrope that line of, if a guy is 95% and good to go, do you play him? You know, I guarantee you Scott Laughton is in there hiding his hand behind his back saying, I'm good. I promise I'm good. Whether he's good or not, because players always want to play.
Yeah, he's clearly, and some more than others. And I think
Scott Laughton's a bulldog. He wants to play every minute.
Yeah. Well, and I think a part of that is I think he's kind of figured out who he is.
I agree.
And what he needs to bring to the team to help the team be successful.
We've said on this show a lot this year that he's been really, really effective, for sure.
Yeah. And again, the things that he's now understands, okay, this is what I need to bring to the team to help the team be successful. And now I think he certainly wants to bring that all the time.
His role is very clearly defined at this point,
and he is
doing a stellar job at executing what his role is.
Yep.
I agree. Scott Laughton's definitely been one of the more impressive Flyers. And like that injury, if he misses any sort of significant time, that hurts.
Absolutely.
Like, that's bad.
Absolutely. He's one of those guys that affect the slotting, so to speak, of who plays against who and that type of thing. And you know, if Laughton being on the ice, you know, helps Konechny get ice time against this guy or that guy versus the other guy,
he's a matchup guy for sure.
That stuff trickles down. Yep. You know, and for Laughton as well, if Laughton's playing against the other team's third and fourth line, you know, he is a better player than if he's slotted somewhere else, because Konechny's out of the lineup and Laughton's playing in a top six, then he's not as effective.
For sure.
So again, there's the whole slotting and trickle down thing it's a big deal for them right now. And, you know,
yeah, and
Vigneault's got some buttons to push and some things to figure out.
Yeah. And you know what? We've been a little doom and gloom today, but I did want to point out that Nolan Patrick made this little chirp over the weekend with the team. He traveled to Minnesota and to Winnipeg with them. And
boy, if you got him back anytime after the new year, boy, would that be a boost.
It would be stellar. Although
I have nothing to base that on. I'm not saying he's coming back after New Year's. I'm saying if he started to travel with the team, we've heard some
positive things. It certainly seems like he's getting close.
Saying, I expect to play this year. If you get him back sometime shortly after the new year, that would be a boost that this team could definitely use.
Yeah, but I do think we need to temper our expectations because
you don't do it in a way where you put him in harm's way.
At this point, he's missed 3 months.
Yeah.
So even if he wakes up tomorrow and the issue's gone and he wants to play Tuesday night against Anaheim, he's got to get back up to game shape. He's got to get back up to game speed. He's got to remember how to play the game at the highest level. And
which you can't even begin to do until the kid can go to getting his heart rate to 130, yep,
getting in full-blown, full-contact
and
practices.
And not getting a headache.
Yep. I agree.
You know, if every time you empty the tank, your head's pounding,
you're not going to last.
Hockey.
No.
Right.
Well, and that's what I'm saying is, yes, it would be phenomenal if Nolan Patrick rejoins this team again for Tuesday's game in Anaheim. He might be asking Vigneault to play today with how decimated they are. But
right. No, again, from a positive standpoint, which is the reason you brought it up, yes, it was nice to hear he traveled with the team. It was nice to hear him say a week or so or two ago that, yeah, you know, I'm certainly hopeful of playing this year. I think he actually said, I expect to play this year. I think that was actually the quote.
Yeah, it's good to see Patrick traveling with the team. And we hope he's, you know, getting healthy also. And, you know, we'll see how that goes. And hopefully we can move forward and Patrick can be good to go.
I certainly hope so. But again, there's really there's nothing other than him traveling with the team and him saying what he said. There's nothing else to base that on. There's no other official word coming out at this point.
Right. Again, it's all still speculation. It's all still hope. And, you know, he's still working with the medical team about, you know, how to fix that problem. But I want to move to the NHL as a whole for a minute, because we've talked about the Flyers and we've talked about where they've gone and where they're going, and we will circle back around to the team. But how good are Boston and Washington? Like, the NHL is ridiculous right now.
They're terrific. Yeah, they played this week. Did you catch any of the game?
I saw that it existed. I watched a couple of minutes. Not as much as I would have wanted to, but I caught most of that first period, and that's a matchup, man. If that's the Eastern Conference Finals, that's going to be fun.
Let me just say this. I hate Washington. I hate Boston. I watched probably 50 minutes of that game.
Unreal.
That's how good it was.
It
was great hockey. It was great. It was spirited. It felt, I mean, I'm not going to say it felt Exactly.
It felt like playoff hockey.
Very similar. Very similar. They were, it was, you know.
I'll say it. I don't care.
It was very spirited, like I said, emotional and banging and hitting. And
you put Brad Marchand and Tom Wilson on the same ice, something's going to happen.
Yep. Yep. It was a terrific hockey game. If you're a fan of hockey, not just the Flyers, it was a great game to watch.
Yeah, and that leads me nicely into the Metro is ridiculous.
Yeah, the Flyers would be in second place in the other division. We're in fifth.
In the Atlantic. Yep. Yeah. So, it's absolutely insane. You'd be tied with the Buffalo Sabres, and you have games in hand.
Correct.
So you'd be in second place in that division, yep. Trailing only Boston.
Yep. And it's really important to get in the top three. It really is.
Yeah, it absolutely is, especially this year, because you have those two juggernauts, because you have Boston and Washington.
Yep.
If you're in a wild card spot, you're done.
Yeah, you're pretty much.
You're
look, it's
done.
It's hockey, and the eighth seed's never dead. Very rarely, it does happen. Rarely dead, but you're really up against it if you're seven or eight.
Both those teams are good.
Yep.
And they're good in different ways. They both have top-tier scoring with Pasternak, Bergeron, Marchand, and Ovechkin, Backstrom, Kuznetsov. They both have stellar goaltending. They both have good defense. They both have rats who thrive in the playoffs in Tom Wilson and Brad Marchand.
They have young guys. They have
veterans.
Even
David Krejci. There's speed. There's strength on both teams. Yep. They're built similarly.
Yeah, they are. It's again,
they're both built for playoff hockey.
Yeah, if this is the Eastern Conference Final, it would be a war.
And they're both built for playoff hockey, too.
Yep.
You know, we've had some discussions about the Flyers maybe not being built for playoff hockey in a way that those teams are. Both those teams have rings, too. You couldn't say that about Washington up until a couple years ago.
They both have a goalie who has a cup. Yeah. No.
Both are led by experienced veterans with, you know, cups behind them. And that series, I want to watch them play every time they play. I just want to watch that game. Like, I could watch them play every night for the rest of the year.
Yeah, it's really, really good hockey. And I would give, going into a playoff series, if that were to happen for them, I think I would pick Boston.
Okay. Even though Washington has been better so far this season?
Yeah. There's just something about...
Patrice Bergeron doesn't lose many playoff series. He really doesn't.
Yeah, the guy's a fantastic player. I've extolled his virtues, you know, ad nauseum on the show, and he's just a fantastic player. I don't like him. I wouldn't say.
Oh no,
I wouldn't say considering he's a Bruin. I don't really hate him the way I hate most Bruins, because I respect the crap out of him.
Right. We've talked on this show back when me and Mike ran this show, the first iteration of the show. We talked a lot about players that you hate but respect, and we talked about Martin Brodeur. You kind of hated him while he's here, but you respected what he was doing.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And there's a lot of players along those lines. Bergeron is absolutely there. But at the same time, so is Ovechkin. Like, I hate Ovi because he's been in my division, but I respect the hell out of him.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And Crosby's become one of those guys that Mike, are you listening? I still hate him. I can't believe you said to me earlier this week, I don't hate Crosby anymore. I really respect him. I can do both. I can walk and chew gum. I can respect him and still hate him.
It's really funny because I'm on the other side of things. In my heart of hearts, I respect them, but I'm not willing to
say it.
Even though I just said it on a podcast.
But you definitely still hate them.
Oh, no, totally.
Right. My son told me this week, I don't hate Crosby anymore. I asked for his card carry. I asked to see his Flyers card.
I know. I feel like I'm 80% hate, 20% respect.
I'm 100-100. I'm 100% hate, 100% respect.
Which means you're 50-50. And then Mike is the other side of things. 80% like, 20%. Or 80% respect, 20% like. And that's just a shame.
But he's 0% hate.
Right.
And I don't
so
get
you know
that.
What? Yeah, that's I'm officially going to put the call out. If you would like to be our producer, you can apply at youwouldthinkpodcast@gmail.com. And you know, we'll take care of business. Mike can be gone. It's fine.
Or Mike, you can come on next week and explain this.
And defend yourself.
I'm not going to say I love Sidney Crosby talk, but this, I don't hate Sidney Crosby talk. So you're called out. Come on, explain it, and we can have the battle.
Yeah, I think that's an appropriate call out there. Flyers don't play the Penguins again until Tuesday, January 21st. So
yeah, got a little while.
Mike, you only have about a month before you have to make up your mind on whether you actually hate him or not. But, you know, if not, I'll buy you a jersey. You know, Christmas is coming up. I'll buy
him tickets for Christmas to the game if he wants to go and sit in the Pittsburgh section.
Either way, back to the Eastern Conference, back to the Metro being ridiculous. If the season ended right now, the Flyers would play Washington.
That's a loss. 2 weeks ago, two losses ago, we were hosting, you know, a series.
The Islanders, you know, I believe.
The Islanders. So banking points as we were doing, it's hugely important. Hugely important. Yeah. So hopefully they get back to that soon.
Yeah, it really is crazy because Washington is like far and away the best team in this division. They're 7 points ahead of the Islanders, although the Islanders do have some points in hand, whatever. From second, the New York Islanders, to fifth, where the Flyers are, it's only a 7-point gap.
Right.
If you exclude the Islanders and just count 3, 4, 5, it's only a 3-point gap.
Right. Well, unfortunately, while the Flyers were doing their losing 3 out of 4, you know, the Penguins and the Hurricanes just kept winning, and
yep,
you know, that unfortunately is what happened. But
yep, and that comes back to what we talked about earlier. The Flyers need to scoop up a bunch of points. Yep.
And it goes to your point, how deep the division really is. When Pittsburgh's right now, you know, the fourth or fifth best team in that division, it's a really good division.
Yeah, and the Rangers, who we all counted for dead a month ago.
I didn't, actually. Not a month ago. Going into the season, I thought they would be one of the surprise teams. That hasn't happened.
Going into the season, a lot of people had them like in a divisional spot, and I thought that was a little ridiculous. But then
I did like a lot of what they did. I did.
There was a lot of hype. They did some really good things. Yeah. Capo Caco, Artemi Panarin, Henrik Lundqvist is playing great hockey right
Trouba.
Now.
They did some good things. The sum of the parts hasn't been as good as of themselves. Yeah, they haven't quite meshed going all together, season, which I'm not going to cry about. I hope they, you know, hope they lose 30 of the next 40.
Well, it sure seems like they're figuring it out, because going into the season, there was all this hype about them. And then a month and a half in, everybody had left them for dead because they were bad. Right. They were poor. They were not playing well.
They did too much too soon.
They've started to figure it out, because they're only 3 points behind the Flyers
for
the second wild card right now.
Yep.
So while I'm not willing to say that they're a playoff team, because I don't think they are,
they're certainly not a bad team.
They're certainly better than they were a month ago.
When they're 6 or 7 down in the division, normally when you get that far down the division, that team is really bad, and they're not really bad. Yeah. So that, again, to your point of how good this division is, you know, teams like the Flyers at 5 and the Rangers at 7, damn, it's a pretty good division.
And then at the bottom of the division, you know, you got Columbus and New Jersey that are the only teams that are really out of it. And one of the things that's kind of the big story in hockey right now is Taylor Hall, you know, talking about the Devils, because it certainly looks like they're not going to make the playoffs this year,
right?
Which they were the other team with the Rangers that was projected highly.
Yep.
You know, they got PK Subban, they got Jack Hughes, they got all this stuff. They got a healthy Taylor Hall back.
You know,
it certainly seems like they're going to be trading Taylor Hall now.
If they're not going to sign him, they certainly have to.
Well, they held him out of last night's game. I don't know if you saw that news.
I did not.
He did not play last night's game for, quote, precautionary reasons. Nobody thinks he's hurt. He's being held.
Yeah, the precautionary thing that definition would be, we don't want him to get hurt because we're trading him.
Exactly. Precautionary means we're protecting our asset so we can get full value for him. So it certainly seems like Taylor Hall is going to be moved probably within the next 3 days or so, I would guess. I don't know what kind of return it would be, but there's been a lot of speculation about that. And
well, certainly the kind of guy that if you're close to being there, depending on what you have to give up to get him, he could certainly, you know, help a team that's close to making a run.
Right. He's got 1 year left. He's making $6 million. Theoretically, the Devils can retain half of that with pretty much no problem. So any team with $3 million in cap space can make a move for Taylor Hall.
Oh, he is signed for next year?
No, he's not.
That's what you said.
He's making $6 million this year.
Okay.
So if the Devils retain, the other team only has to fit $3 million under the cap.
Gotcha.
Teams with $3 million in cap space. The New York Rangers, the New Jersey Devils, that's pretty irrelevant. Anaheim, not really relevant. Montreal.
Okay, that's certainly one of the landing
spots.
That's a potential landing spot.
L.A., Ottawa, they're not really playoff teams. Winnipeg is interesting. They probably can't trade for him with the Dustin Byfuglien situation up in the air. Their cap space is a little phantom.
Yeah, but they certainly have enough as far as equity to get him.
Absolutely. They have the assets to trade.
Of all the teams you mentioned so far, Montreal and Winnipeg are the two.
Well, there are two more candidates on this list. There's also the Columbus Blue Jackets, but they're not. The other two names, the New York Islanders, which it's tough to get a trade done in division, but boy, that team would do well with some scoring. You put Taylor Hall next to Matt Barzal and let him go, and that's dangerous.
Yeah,
they have Anders Lee. They have some good
given their
talent
coach,
there.
Given their coach, I'd say that's a, because I think what they have going on over there is a lot of chemistry.
Yeah.
So if they had a different coach, I'd say be careful with that coach. I'd say definitely worth bringing him in and rolling the dice to see if it works.
Right. Now that's a tricky situation because A, you have to trade him in division. B, you have to get young assets back from a division rival, which they're not going to want to do. And then maybe they re-sign Hall, and then you got to play him for the next 5, 6, 7 years.
Yeah, but when you're talking a situation where we're going to lose the guy no matter what, that in the division, out of the division, I don't think means quite as much.
I agree.
At the end of the day, if the Devils are going to get the most from the Islanders or the Flyers or any other division team, they're going to get more from them than anywhere else.
Right.
The fact that you're not trading him to the Islanders doesn't mean he's not going to end up at the Islanders anyway.
That's fair. So, and we saw that with Mike Hoffman getting flipped. And, you know, we've seen it a couple times for sure. But the other name, and my choice, by the way,
I'm sure,
is the Colorado Avalanche.
Yep. It would be a very interesting fit there.
Because wow. Your first line could be MacKinnon centering Hall and Rantanen.
I'm trying to draw an analogy, and nothing's jumping to mind. But it's a video game. It's kind of the, you know, it's kind of like a tightrope walker walk joining the Willendes. You know what I mean? He would just fit right in. I mean,
it's unreal.
He's already got the speed and the game to play with those five or six forwards they already have over there doing what they're doing.
Or if you wanna,
you didn't get my Willendes reference.
They're the
tightrope walkers. The guy that walked across the vet was the great Willenda. I said,
sure.
It's like a tightrope walker joining the Willendas. It was a great reference. You got to laugh at that.
Or if you want to leave your top line, right? Let's say you want to leave Landeskog, Rantanen, and MacKinnon because they're working so well together. You get to put Taylor Hall on your second line with Nazem Kadri.
Yeah, no, it's a flying guy joining a flying team.
Right. And then your top power play unit is Landeskog, Rantanen, MacKinnon, Hall, and then pick your defenseman, Sam Girard, or one of the young offensively minded guys that they have.
Over there?
Makar, whoever runs their first unit, I'm not really following the Avalanche, to be fair.
Right.
But your first unit is four of the best scorers in the entire world and a great young defenseman, Sam Girard or Kale Makar.
Which it might take to get him, but I hear what you're saying.
I think they would move Byram first, the guy they just picked fourth overall, who hasn't played at the NHL level yet.
You're going to try to give as little as possible, but hey, look, to get Hall, you're going to have to give something up.
Well, and I think this is going to be a two-stage deal. I think whatever team gets Taylor Hall, whether it's the Islanders or the Avalanche or another team clears cap space, because there are teams that could trade away some cap space to get Taylor Hall.
Right.
But if you're... it's a two-stage deal. It's got to be, right? One for this is what it takes to get Taylor Hall. And then if he signs with you, we also get this. So I could easily see Colorado, Byram for Hall, one for one. But then if he re-signs there, they get two firsts or something along those lines.
Yeah, I guess that's a possibility. It's not a move.
I think it has to be.
It's not a move I'm making if I'm Colorado. I'm not going to give you, not that I don't want Hall, but I'm not going to give you assets to get Hall who I'm giving the assets that are equal to getting a 3-month player because that's what I'm getting. Now, if I put the money up to sign him, I'm going to lose the cap space and I'm going to lose more assets. I don't know.
Taylor Hall is good enough.
Yeah, but you can just wait and sign him and only lose the money.
I understand that, but then you don't get him this year, right. And you have to bid with other teams. Right?
I'm not going to give up the assets to get him for 3 months, and then more assets if I'm keeping him for 5 more years.
But if you trade him right now, not only do you get him for this year, you also get exclusive negotiating rights until June 25th or whenever that window opens.
And I'm willing to give up something to get that. I'm just not willing to give up more after I give up a ton of money to keep him. Now I got to give up more assets in addition to the money.
Yeah,
when I could just do nothing and give up the money and get him in 3 months.
Right. But the theory there is that you're getting him slightly under market value. And then if you re-sign him
for 3 months,
you're paying slightly over market value. So it's hit or miss.
I got you.
But again, you are also getting 3 or 4 months of one of the best, most prolific scorers in the game.
And that
today has
a value. Right. I'm just saying I wouldn't give up additional value if I then sign him to an extension. That's all I'm saying. I would definitely if I'm in Colorado's position, I'd definitely give up good value to get him for this year.
All right, I'm going to put you on the spot here a little bit. If you're the Flyers, what do you give up for a rental Taylor Hall? No plans to re-sign him. Get him on the books this year.
Just for the 3 months?
Just with no plans to re-sign him. And I'm not saying the Devils have to take it, but what's the most you would give up? You know, what's the closest you would get to putting together a realistic deal?
And honestly, just zero chance of resigning him? Zero?
Five.
Because it changes. No, I'm just, if you tell me I'm letting him walk guaranteed, I don't go more than like a Farabee and a two, something like that. Because the Flyers aren't so close to winning the cup that he puts us over the edge in my mind. So I'm not giving up a ton if I have no desire
I'm looking
to keep
at it. How I'm looking at it is I think it's got to be a rental because you have too many young kids contracts coming up in the next couple of years.
Better than Taylor
to
Hall?
To lock Taylor Hall up to 12, 13, 14 million, whatever he's going to get in free agency this summer.
Have guys that are better than Taylor Hall?
No, not necessarily.
If you have a chance to keep
that.
Taylor Hall, but you can't afford Konechny, you don't do that?
Konechny at 6 million is better than Hall at 12. In my mind.
I'm not going to completely disagree with that.
Right. And I don't see Taylor Hall as that.
He's certainly not one of the top.
Taylor Hall's not dominant.
Right.
He's very good.
He's had moments in his career where he's been a top 5 player. He either was second or did he win the MVP or second in the MVP?
He won the MVP a couple years ago.
Yeah, I mean, he's been a terrific player on it, but he's had more periods in his career where he wasn't great than where he has been great. And he has been great at times, just not all the time. So I don't put him as a top 5, maybe not even as a top 10 player in the league. So I'm not giving him, you know, John Tavares type money. I'm just not.
He's going to get it.
No, I'm not saying he's not going to get it. I'm saying I'm not going to give it to him. I think your point that having Konechny at 6 and somebody else at 3 and somebody else at 5 is better than having him at 12. Yeah, I totally agree.
And that's why I think that if the Flyers were to pursue him, which I don't think they are, for the record, I don't think they are just because you got that in division tax that goes into it.
Right.
But that's why I'm looking at him as a rental because I don't think it makes sense for the Flyers to lock up that much money over that long a term. Because he's going to get 12 by 7 on the free market. He's just going to.
Right. Yeah. No, somebody's going to give it to him.
Right. Exactly. So that's why I'm looking at it as a rental. But
gotcha.
You mentioned Farabee. You would give up Farabee for a rental on Hall?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think in the city of Philadelphia today, among Flyers fans today, I think that's a little bit of a hot take.
Well, what do you see Farabee as? And I think he's been fine.
I see him as a future top 6 guy.
Never happened.
Scoring 30 goals.
Oh, never happened.
And 70 points.
Never happened. I hope I'm 100% wrong.
Okay.
You want to put that possibility on a guy like Frost? Okay. But
I think Frost is closer to 40, but
I'm
talking ceiling.
There go the glasses.
I think the best that Morgan Frost could be. I'm not saying he's going to get there. I'm not saying he's there now, but I think that is Morgan Frost's ceiling. And I think Joel Farabee's ceiling is 30 goals, 70 point.
If If he ever scores 30 in the NHL, I will be shocked. I hope I'm wrong.
Okay. I will collect that beer that you just offered me.
Okay. And if he doesn't do it?
I mean, sure, I'll buy you a beer in 15 years when he retires without doing it, okay, or whatever.
Sounds fine. Good.
Oh, I can't wait till he does it next year. Hey, either way.
Continuing around the NHL. Just go for it, because I want to try to spring this as a little bit of a surprise question.
Yeah, we didn't talk about this.
Who's,
go for it.
Who's first in the Pacific?
It's either Edmonton or Arizona, isn't it?
Arizona. Is that crazy?
Yeah. And that's why I think that loss from the Flyers to them last week isn't the end of the world. No, like, yeah, no. Obviously you want to beat that team.
It's still a first place team that you lost to.
Right. Darcy Kuemper had that game 1-0 through the first 45, 50 minutes. Sometimes that just happens. Arizona's a very good team, and they're built kind of like the poor man's New York Islanders.
Agreed.
They play defense. They play a really good system. Clayton Keller is kind of a low rent Matt Barzal.
Right.
They have Phil Kessel, which I don't believe the Islanders have anybody who can score like that.
Right. Now, granted, it's not the Pacific's not a great division, and you can argue it's the worst division in hockey.
No, there's a bunch of punching bags in that division for sure.
Edmonton's kind of reverted back to what Edmonton tends to normally revert back to.
Yeah, I think Connor McDavid might still get you in the playoffs just because the division is so bad.
They opened up what 7-0-1 or something. I mean, they started out on fire.
Ridiculous. James Neal had like 13 goals in the first 15 games or something.
They're now 5 games over .500.
Yeah, no, I totally believe it. And I think they might limp into the playoffs just because, again, that division is awful. Right. And LA's bad. Anaheim's bad. San Jose hasn't had a good year. Vancouver's not as good as they thought they were going to be. Right. There's definitely a chance that Edmonton still makes the playoffs.
Oh, definitely.
But Arizona is absolutely... They're real.
It's definitely one of the surprise stories, for sure.
Yeah. To me, they're not a flash in the pan, like, wow, where'd they come from? Like, I think they're finally playing the hockey that they've been teasing playing for 2 or 3 years now.
Look, three weeks ago, it was, well, it's 20 games, and, you know, we'll see what happens with Arizona. It's more than a third of the way into the season, and we're closing in on the halfway point. Exactly. Another 5 or 6 games, and you're at the halfway point. So, you know, and they're still in first place. So something's going on over there. But I wasn't sure if you knew who was in first over there.
I knew it was one of those two teams. I haven't followed it closely enough that I knew for sure it was Arizona. But it absolutely doesn't surprise me. Right. They're a good team. Rick Tocchet's doing a phenomenal job with that team.
Absolutely.
Because I don't think they have the most talented roster, even in that division. So the fact that he's coached them up to first place is really, really impressive. And I think a lot of the credit there goes to Rick Tocchet.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a lot of successful Flyer coaching tree going on over there. Getting in the league.
Craig Berube won the cup last year.
They're in first place. The Central is the metro of of the Western Conference.
I can't wait till Toronto wins the cup so Dave Hakstol can raise it. Yeah, you just thought about that, didn't you?
As long as he's not responsible for it, I can live with it.
They're gonna kill off a critical penalty with 2 minutes left to secure the win, and he's gonna get all the credit. Either way, all right. So
that Central division's really good too. St. Louis. St. Louis is not just a flash in the pan that won the cup. They're in first place with 47 or something points. And
turns out the NHL is a pretty decent league.
Yeah, the Winnipeg Jets, the very good Winnipeg Jets that we'll see tonight, are like 8 games or so over .500. They're in fourth place in that division. That's how good that division is.
Yep. So. And we will see what the Flyers do with that Winnipeg team. Obviously, you guys will know before we do here, or before you hear us. So
tough matchup for the Flyers tonight, just in style.
Absolutely. You know what? Just for fun, who do you got? And we don't know who's starting.
Right. We don't know who's playing.
I saw something that Carter Hart might play tonight, 2 games in a row, which I don't necessarily love.
He wasn't great last night.
He wasn't great. No. And that might be why you stick him back in the crease.
Yeah.
That might be why you stick him back in there to let him get a little confidence back.
I think they're going to go Elliott if for no other reason. It's another road game.
and you're back to back, I think you absolutely should go Elliott.
Yeah, but I think it's got more to do with the fact that Elliott's been better on the road.
But you know what? If Hart marches into the room and says, "I want to start," I give it to him. If I'm AV,
I guess it depends. It depends how he relays it to me. But I think
if he says, "Hey, I didn't play my best last night. I can do better. Put me in. Put me in, coach. I'm ready to play.
I'm going to say we're going to get you back in as soon as we can. We're going to go.
Yeah, he probably gets Tuesday for sure.
Yeah, we're gonna go with Elliott for tonight. I'll put it totally on a if you want to use the load management thing. Look, we want you healthy down the stretch. So we're going to give you the night off. Not presented Elliott's been better on the road than you, so we're going to go with Elliott. Right. If you don't want to go down that road and put it that
there's
way.
There's no real reason to start your 21-year-old goaltender on both halves of a back-to-back.
Again, especially when Elliott's been playing so good on the road. Right.
Yes. Right. Well, we will find all that out. Okay, what's your prediction, though? Give me a score.
I'm going to go 3-2 Flyers in overtime.
I'm thinking 4-3 Flyers in overtime. Okay. I think they come out scoring a little bit more, yeah.
Okay.
But either way, those are our predictions. You can let us know how wrong we were on Twitter at YWT Podcast. You can find Mike at Mike from S Jersey and producer Mike at Mike_Giletto. You can also find the show on Facebook, Instagram, Podbean, iTunes, Google Podcast, SportsTalkPhilly.com. We're everywhere. You know how to find us at this point. You good?
Yeah.
Is there something you wanted to say?
Yeah, nope. No, I'm good.
Okay. It looked like you were trying to cut in on me.
You can also find Mike at I Love Crosby.
Hashtag Mike loves Sid. we'll get that rocking. Either way, we're going to let you guys go, but we did want to take one more moment to extend our heartfelt thoughts and sympathies and prayers to Oscar Lindblom and his family. He's not from North America, so I don't know if his parents are on their way over. I assume they probably are. Yeah.
You know, that is...
If they're not here already.
Not to be too somber, but actually, I'm not. Obviously, is having a child in that relative age frame. That was actually... Not more so than Oscar, but that was actually the first thing that went right into my head. Like, oh my God,
his parents must be
devastated. Yeah. I'm like, wow.
And they probably got the call at about 10 p.m. on Friday night, which is a rough thing.
Yep.
So we do want to extend our sympathies and our thoughts and our well wishes. We actually have producer Mike has put together a little bit of a super clip of Oscar Lindblom in press scrum since he's been with the Flyers. And that's how we're going to close the show today. So as we get into that, I'm going to tell you guys that, we'll see you next week. And it sounds corny, but hug your loved ones, man.
I hear you.
You know, our time is short on this earth.
We don't get a lot of it. So enjoy every minute you're here, and every day outside the box is a good day.
Yeah, make it good. Hug your loved ones, especially in this holiday season. And we're gonna have Mike play those clips for us on our way out, and we'll see you next week.
Yeah, I mean, it's just focus. We're old enough to recognize when we have to be on the ice and not to. And I think it's not good enough, and we have to do better. We just have to bounce back. We need to win, so. I mean, just let this game go and... Yeah, I mean, I got a lot of energy from those big saves and moves too, you know. Play good defense, and they saved us a couple times there, and when then we got a chance, we scored, like you said. So, great game at home, and like I said, just build on this and get the energy for the next game.
Yeah, I think so. I feel more relaxed this year, and... I feel like I can trust my game a little bit more, and I know how it's going to be over here, so just feel good this time over here.
Yeah, it's fun. Like, you don't like to get banged, but you have to beat it if you want to score, and if you get a couple of hits and you score a goal, that's how it is, and that's what I have to do.
Not really, I'm so used to it, and that's my spot, and if I want to play here, I have to be in that area, that's my spot, like I said, and that's where I'm good at.
I mean, it's tough. You're always trying to figure out, like, what are you doing wrong and all that, but we stayed together tonight, and I think that's the most important thing, like, for the team, and stick together as a group.